Church. Well, praise the Lord. It is truly an honor to have you here with us. And I'm Pastor Brad. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Tim Stallman is the senior pastor here. And man, I just invite you, he would certainly want to meet you. This is his congregation, his church, praise the Lord. And every time that we have visiting guests that come in, he would certainly, most definitely want to meet you. So I just invite you, come on back to hear Pastor and meet with him. It'd be a blessing to you. It'd be a blessing to him. And so it's an honor for me because when he's away, he's asked me to minister. And I'll tell you what, there's no greater honor for me to be able to stand up before you and to give the word of God. And I sincerely mean that. And I just trust the Lord that he's going to help us, and he has a word for us today. And I just feel like, praise God that you're just going to be encouraged here today. And I trust, you just give yourself to the word of God. Like I said, Jesus was the living word. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us through his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the living word of God, but I'm telling you, if you take the revelation of this word and you apply it to your life, it's putting God movement on the inside of you. This is his highest and best plan for you. This settles every argument with finality. This settles every issue with finality. Why? Because of the one who said it. Because God the Father said the word of God, that settles it. Who's going to dispute? Who's going to argue? There's the accuser of the brethren, but we see what situation he's in right now because he's been banished out of the presence of God and he will spend eternity in hell, the accuser of the brethren being Satan, the devil. You know, the thief, the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Yeah, him. Him. He's the one. He's the one that would try to put you in a position of living less than everything that God provided through his son, Jesus Christ, on your behalf. And if he can get your mindset thinking in a direction to keep you defeated, then we have some work to do to give the word first place so we can be liberated in those areas. And I just want to encourage you here today, and if you do have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to share a few verses to start off just to give foundation. And you've heard me minister along these lines numerous times before. We're going to start right there in verse 7. It's hard to be up here right now. Amen. Not hard in a negative sense, but it's hard to minister right now. And I gotta get out of a few things. I know I'm talking nonsense right now, but let me just explain. Sometimes your heart is so compassionate, and you pick up different needs sometimes on the inside, and you can see different things that people are going through, and you gravitate your heart towards those things, and sometimes, in my personality and makeup, I can be somewhat emotional at times, and if you couldn't tell by my preaching, so I have to jolt myself back into speaking normally, because if you give yourself too much of those things, then I'm going to be a puddle up here, and then what are we going to do? Y'all just sit there and just look at me. And we don't want that. So I'll get into the flow here in a second, but just when sometimes, just getting into the presence of God, and there's a strong presence of the Lord here right now. Sometimes, the best thing and the best help that you can do is just grab hold of the Father. The Word certainly has its place. The Word is God. It's the living Word. It's the eternal Word. And praise God for the lessons and the faith that we have in that, but in unison with the spoken rhema, written word, there's the presence of our Heavenly Father that I've studied, I've known, I've seen the five-step process on how to accomplish this, that, and another thing, but there's other times where I just have to come before the Father. And I said, I don't care if you say one word, I just need to be with you right now. I don't care if you give me a sermon outline, if you go to Scripture, which he does. The Holy Ghost ministers to us by the Word of God, and even in my private time, he gives the Word of God. But there's sometimes it's like, even if you say not one word, I just need to be with you right now. That's it. And there's a camaraderie of fellowship as a loving father with a child that you can't put a price on the bond of love that comes through that connection with him. Because what I have with my Heavenly Father, I have with no one else. He is my greatest love. And sometimes I appreciate the family and my direct family and the family that he's given to me. But sometimes you have to separate yourself and just find God. Because there's ways that he can minister to you on an intimate personal level that sometimes we don't get in the corporate anointing like this. So I don't apologize for being fragile up here. But I want to get back into the track of what he's called me to share here this morning. And I've shared these verses before over here in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to share these verses because we need to know that we are loved, and you need to be encouraged today that above all things that the Lord loves you here today. Sometimes we just need to know, hey, the foundation of who he is love, for God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave. Basically, this whole book is a book of love, especially the New Testament, because there's a lot of begat these and begat those and wars and different things in the Old Testament, because that was before Jesus came. But then when Jesus came, there was the greatest demonstration of his love. And we're going to look at some of these things here today. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And sometimes we're like, yeah, that's the old school verse, the very first one that we learned when we were in Sunday school. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that is so, but that is the whole basis why Jesus came, is because he first loved you. He saw you thousands of years ago when mankind fell in the garden through Adam. And he said, the first prophecy in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3, that he said, there will come that will crush the head of that serpent, and he will bruise his heel, speaking of the Messiah. Why? See, love stood up in the Garden of Eden when mankind failed, when mankind quit or surrendered authority to Lucifer or Satan at that time. And so for thousands of years, even before we arrived on the scene right now, love still acted on your behalf 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. And that love will always be the foundation behind everything that he's established in the Word of God. Pastor Michael Laketic said one time, and I know Pastor Tim has said that too, concerning our own natural family, is that he says, rules without relationship equals rebellion. If my relationship with my kids, don't do that, do this, don't do that, because if you do that, this is going to happen and you don't want that. Yes, absolutely. Love certainly does correct. But if it's always about the rules and not the relationship, all of a sudden rebellion becomes norm to them because they know me according to rules. How much more our Heavenly Father? That all I hear, well, don't swear, well, don't drink, well, don't do this, and you can't do that, and if you do this, this is going to happen, and this is going to do, and they neglect the relationship with the Heavenly Father of just getting in the presence saying, yes, I know I'm screwed up. Yes, I know I missed the mark. I see every day my shortcomings and where I fall short, and you know what I need? I need a Heavenly Father that loves me right now. And I know that he is love, and he showed me through Jesus Christ and what he... So I need to experience for myself that love right now. I know the rules. Yes, I know that. But if you hear all the time this and this, and we don't take it upon ourselves to fellowship with the Heavenly Father, we'll know him strictly by the do's and don'ts and not know him according to the love nature that he is. See, he can't act any other way. God, it says God is love, and he can't act against his nature. This confused, genderless, trans whatever out there going on is an abomination to our Heavenly Father. He stands in a place of love on their behalf because he's secure in love. So everything that he does is governed with the touch of our Heavenly Father's love on it. Even the do's and the don'ts are there in a position of love because the destruction and the repercussions of disobedience have an effect that he doesn't want you to go through. But it's all based first and foremost on love. If you know the repercussions and you know the rules, apart from the relationship with our Heavenly Father, who would want that? Why would my kids want that? Rebellion. I don't want that. That's what rebellion means. I don't want that. So we have to not only embrace the word of God written, but you have to take time to fellowship with our Heavenly Father. He's got nothing but love for you. He's got nothing but good for you. And you need to know that. And we're going to get into that here today. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 7, he's talking to the disciples, and he's talking obviously to the congregation right there. He says, but when you pray, and I've shared these verses before in tithes and offerings and different things, but this is a good foundation. Listen to what he has to say. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen? Vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen pray? Oh, you better believe the heathen pray. I talk to heathen all the time. Hey, bro, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I pray all the time. They're not born again. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? No. But, you know, my grandma prayed. My mom prayed. Oh, I pray every day, man. I pray every day. I believe God. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah. Well, have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? No, I haven't done that. But, man, I pray. I believe there's something out there. He says the heathen do. Those that aren't of family. Those that aren't of God's house. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. He says, they pray aimlessly. The heathen just pray to pray for their much speaking and their much words. He says, don't pray like them. And the reason why you don't pray like them is, he says, because your Father knows. He knows what you need before you ask him. You have a Father that knows. You have a Father that 2,000 years ago knew you right now and made provision on your part. Why? Because he sees and he knows. God our provider, Jehovah Jireh, as he expressed himself to Abraham when it came to sacrificing Isaac at that time. Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and the God who provides. Don't pray as the heathen. You're not like them. You have a Father that knows. You don't talk the same talk that they talk. You don't use the same lingo as they do because they're without a Father. You speak differently because you have a Father that knows. And because the Father knows, responsibility falls on the one who knows. If my kids have a need, it's my wife and my responsibility to fulfill that need. I don't be like, oh yeah, no, you know what? You're not gonna eat for 3 days just because it's time to learn something. Yeah. No, it's good that your clothes are ripped and you don't have, you know, a jacket and stuff like that out in this cold temperatures because, you know, we don't want you soft. If I discovered a need that my children's need, and I know those things, and I neglect that need, social services is being called on me because I've exemplified a level of neglect on my children. And that can and does happen in this world. But we have a Heavenly Father that knows. So if he knows every single need that you have and does nothing concerning that need, I question your integrity. I question your character. So he says, you don't pray like the heathen, the ones without the Father. You pray as one that has the Father because he knows. And because he knows, he's provided. It goes on in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Absolutely we are. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Nobody. Nobody can add to themselves by taking worry, anxiety, thought, care. No one can add to themselves by that. And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the heathen, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. I rest in the fact that despite whatever grenaded in my path, to put my feet standing in a place of misfortune at this present circumstance, I have a Father that knows. And I understand because my Father knows and he gave provision through his Son, Jesus Christ, that this is a temporary affliction that I'm going through. And I put not the weight upon myself taking cubit or add a cubit to myself by taking thought of these things. I turn that and put the pressure back on him and saying, Father, I know that you know that I know that you know. There was a woman one time, and she had a son. I remember hearing this testimony, and that'll preach right there. Something happened where her son fell deathly ill, sick. I don't know if he was in an accident or it was just a sickness and disease. And she was disconnected from him, and she got word. So she immediately went before the Lord as her son was in a position of death. And she believed God on his behalf, released her faith, confessed. And she said, Father, I know that you know that I know you know. Because I've acknowledged that you know this. That's what he says. Your Father knows that you have needed these things. Father, I know what you said. And I'm just telling you that I know what you said. And because now that I've released my faith and told you my circumstance, my condition, I'm well aware that you now know. And because you know, I'm expecting you to move and act on my behalf. That's why he says, don't pray like the heathens. They just pray. They're fatherless. They don't have somebody that knows. He's saying, you're different. You're of family, and I know that you know. You stand in that position. After all these things, the heathens pray. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They're already in place. They're already in a position to be retrievable for you and by you. Why? You have a Father that knows. Jesus, when he approached them at the beginning of the chapter, don't pray like the heathen do. He says, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. Oh, yeah? Well, if he knows what I need before I ask him, why doesn't it just show up? Jesus could have said, here I am. I showed up. This has been a long time coming, and so now you need to fix your mind to the fact that he sent me on your behalf telling you that he knows and that his family is in a position where this help is now tangible in flesh and blood standing before you. I'm here in a position saying, he knows. He knows. And I'm here to be the living proof and sacrifice that your Father knows. If he spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also in him freely give you all things? There it is. What's all things? All things. What is it you need? All things. Your Father knows. He gave provision through Jesus Christ. Turn with me over there in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week to an extent, a review a little bit on that. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. We touched on this there last week. in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Here's this woman, 12 years, lost everything she had, had an issue of blood, had a physical condition, sickness, disease on the inside of her, where she had an uncontrollable, out of my hands, tried to do everything that I could do. In fact, didn't grow better, but grew worse. It affected my pocketbook. I sought every physician. It affected my social status, because now I've been excommunicated from the community in the place of being unclean. I've tried every diet. I've tried every exercise. I've looked up everything on Google. I've tried to go to Physician RX. I've tried breathing exercises. I've tried toe touchers, hip thrusts, jumping jacks, everything to try to create some kind of cure, and grew nothing better but worse. In other words, something came upon me that I have no control over. If I had control over it, it would have been resolved. I would have gained back my social status. She was a place at the bottom rung where now it's believe God or nothing, because she said, "I've heard of this guy named Jesus, and if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. There's nothing more for me to lose. I've lost everything. I am a social outcast. I'm broke. I have nothing or nobody. I'm going to press through the crowd in my garments, signifying that death could become of me, because I'm wearing garments showing me that I'm excommunicated and unclean ceremonial. So me, by taking a chance of going among the living, among the healthy, and pressing my through to apprehend this Jesus, could cost me everything. But what do I have to lose?" She was in a place where she pressed through the crowd, touched the garment of Jesus, virtue left his body, and he stopped. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Everybody touched you. There's hundreds and thousands of people. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touched you up in here." Someone touched him. The woman realized what had happened. She touched the hem of his garment. That virtue and power fall into him. He turned around. First thing that he says unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Now, I know that this society is confused out there, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but you know what daughter means? Female child. Female child. They're confused out there. What's a daughter? Well, we don't know what this sex of this kid is until they're 18 years of age. Well, you're stupid. He says, "Daughter." Not woman, not honey, not girl. He says, "Daughter." That's a far cry from everything that I've been told the last 12 years. What'd you say? "Daughter." Now, rightfully so, a Jewish woman, could he be in reference to a daughter of Abraham? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. You remember the woman that was bent over in Luke chapter 13. He said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, though these 18 years, be whole of her plague on the Sabbath day?" You remember that account, being a daughter of Abraham. But he addressed her according to family. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Daughter, your faith has apprehended that which rightfully belongs to you. Virtue left. Jesus showed up, the living word. If I could but get to Jesus, all I need is an encounter with Jesus. He says, daughter, you showed up as a daughter, and you got, by your faith, you access the whole reason, Jesus saying, why I am here right now. Family covenant with a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. There is a difference by the love and compassion that a father has for his family. It's the same thing. If anyone's in here has kids, a lot of us do have kids, you know the compassion, the love that you have for your children. There's no price that you wouldn't pay. There's nothing that you would not do. You love and you bless and you nurture and you give to them. We need to know and understand that covenant relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And I want to share with you, if you'll turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans, especially chapter 8. It's one of my favorite in the whole Bible. And I want to show you something. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start there. And I like to use the Amplified, and I'm going to put you on the spot up there because we're going to use some of this Amplified verses. But I like how the Amplified breaks it down a little bit better. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, if we can read that in the Amplified, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Okay, praise God. The sons are led by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit which you have now received. Okay. So I got born again, and the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit that I have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. He says, you have received a spirit that brings you into a knowledge of sonship, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit, and don't let that word sonship means son, daughter, sonship, mankind, those that are born again. The Spirit that you have received brings you into a knowledge of sonship with our Heavenly Father, to know Him as one who is Daddy or Abba, Father. Daddy, Father is what it's saying. So the Spirit is leading you according to the fatherhood of your Heavenly Father and you as a child. Sonship is pressing into that father-child relationship, and the Spirit is amplifying and accelerating and bringing those things out of you so that you would recognize and know those things. Now, there's something about the spirit of adoption. And I know that there's people in this church that you've adopted children. See, not to say in our own humanness that every adoptive parent is, you know, batting 1,000 and knocking it out. I mean, there's different circumstances and different upbringings. But I do know and recognize this too, that even natural fathers sometimes, and there's other testimonies represented here, maybe you didn't have a father growing up. Maybe, you know, there was a level of neglect and abuse and stuff from your natural father growing up. Maybe there were some of those things. Thank God that that is not our Heavenly Father. Thank God that He does not flow in that, and there is no bit of neglect. There is no bit of abuse. There's good and only good for you. But there's something to be said about adoption. See, adoption comes by the ones who seek out the responsibility of care on behalf of a child. In other words, I wasn't forced into this by being intimate with another person and then we had a child. I've sought out, I've studied, I've weighed the balance of responsibility, and I've chosen, not because this child or baby has given me 1 cent, has fed me one meal, has brought a big smile on my face, has given me all these things to earn the adoption process on their behalf. They've done none of those things. I've chosen out of my compassion and heart to recognize the need, weigh the weight of responsibility with it, and embrace that. That's the spirit of adoption. When you're adopted by the Heavenly Father, all the rights and privileges of the family now belong to you. Scott always bails me out here. Scott, what's Sia's last name? It's Wright. Whose name is that? That's your name. They adopted Sia. Her last name became Wright because her father and, of course, mother, their last name is Wright, taking on the name of the one through the adoption process. Whatever you've been labeled as, 12 years with the issue of blood, the outcast, the unclean, the depressed, the nobody, whatever you've been labeled as that brought you to this place right now, the name of your Heavenly Father now is your name and belongs to you. Because someone assumed the responsibility on your behalf. So he's saying that you would have revelation of the spirit of adoption, that you would know the spirit leading you your redemptive right into the family that you now belong. Jesus approached that woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." You accessed what you are a part of. This covenant is for you. You woke up to the fact that this is at your disposal based on the love of your Heavenly Father and the adoption process that he sent Jesus, his son, to solidify in blood that covenant relationship with you. His name is now my name. His resources are now my resources. I've been born again into the family of the Most High. Jesus and God moved on the inside of me. Same thing in the natural. There was not one thing that Sia did to earn the responsibility that you guys embraced and took upon yourselves. There was no money that she gave you. She wasn't old enough at that time to establish some accolades to justify her worthiness. This was a choice that they made for her. I can't stand before my Heavenly Father said, "Well, I've done this, I've done that." I can't justify why he should love me. This was a decision that he made. In the works mentality, we try to arrive ourselves at that place, and we keep stumbling and falling short, wondering why. Only by the grace and love of our Heavenly Father, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's all we can say. Glory to God. The spirit of adoption on the inside of us, so that we would go into and embracing the sonship that we have, or the daughtership, if you will, if that's even the right word. That's what I said last night. I was ministering in Erie. It's like daughtership or daughterdom or becoming a daughter or sonship or whatever you want to say. But embracing that relationship with our Heavenly Father, what is it that you need? Your Father knows. Glory to God. He knows. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something, talking about the love of our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 2. I love what these verses say, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. In verse 4, we're going to start. And I've shared these verses I don't know how many times, but man, you just can't read these verses enough. And it says in verse 4, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor, his mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation." In order to satisfy that great, intense love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our trespasses, Christ died for us. And I love the wording of that, because God being love, can you imagine having that itch that you cannot scratch? That love is who you are and so big on you that you have to act and move. That while we were yet sinners, it's almost like, because I love at such a greater quantity than the rebellion and disobedient fallen state of mankind, that I will give my son Jesus Christ on their behalf, because I have so much love and compassion that I need my family to come back into fellowship and relationship with me. That Jesus, you're going to go on their behalf, and the same power and resurrection power that is on the inside of you will be on the inside of them, because they are going to be born again, made new, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the same nature that I have will be in them. We're going to come and live in them. The Father and the Son will make their abode in them, and they will become my children and my people. And so he's saying, in order to satisfy this great and intense love, I don't care. I'm not impressed by the disobedience. I'm not impressed by the separation of sin. I know the capabilities and the quantity of love I have on their behalf, and it will conquer that thing. It will bridge the gap that I can bring them back into fellowship with me. The great and intense love. I got to do something about it. I got to act on this. I got to move on this. Love for a fallen people. That's the wording behind that. In verse 6, listen what he says. And he said, he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He put us and seated us together with him. Why? So we can just sit up there with Jesus in the heavenly places, just kick our feet up, you know, grab a nice, get one of the angels with a big palm leaf. You know, wouldn't that be real nice? You know, have a little drink, non-alcoholic, with a little umbrella in it, you know, and just kick back. Robert, why are you laughing so loud? I'm just kidding. Root beer. Is that what you said? Oh, root beer for Robert. All right. Root beer for Robert. Yeah. And so why did we were exalted? So listen to what he says in verse 7. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. He did this that he would demonstrate through the ages to come that free grace that he gave us. That while we were still sinners, there came one and died on my behalf. There's one that out of love, because God so loved the world that he gave his son on my behalf, There was one that bridged that gap of sin and brought me back into fellowship with my Heavenly Father, so that the ages to come, you would be a demonstration of His love and goodness and kindness to you and to the generation out there that you're in. He wants to show, how's He going to do that? You. Praise God when Jesus shows up in miraculous ways. Praise God when angels and messengers show up throughout the world, and we believe in all that. Praise God for doing that. That's the exception and not the rule. He sent you. He said, I transformed you by the love nature of God on the inside of you so that I can be a demonstration through you. Those people out there need you to be an example of love. And I'll tell you, it's a thick atmosphere out there right now. What do you mean by that? Because there's so much hate and animosity and backbiting and the political atmosphere that you just want to choke and slap and beat, and you're happy when someone gets hurt on the other side, and you rejoice a little bit when, you know, something bad happens to the Karen. You know what I mean? Come on, let's get down to it here a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, man, I wish just a lightning bolt would just come down and strike him dead right now. Wouldn't that be so cool? Yeah. But that's the mentality. That's the mentality we have. You know, you like when people get what they deserve. That's contrary to the love nature of God. As you being an ambassador of love, why do you think that this world out here is growing cold and dark? But we do know where sin abounds, grace also abounds. What grace? The grace on the inside of you. Are you waiting for grace to come down? Are you? Why don't you just walk in what you are? Are you waiting for love to come down? Oh man, God, you're just going to have to do something about this. I did, through my Son Jesus Christ. I moved on the inside of you. You are of my family. Take whatever resources you need in our family, and you show them. They don't know. Oh, you're waiting for God to move. Is that what you're waiting for God to do? Is for him to, he did. He gave his Son Jesus 2,000 years ago. He's waiting for you to respond like the woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in with a hand of faith and grab what's rightfully yours in your birthright, in your new creation reality through Jesus Christ. And what's the precursors around all that? Love. Love. I'll tell a testimony. RJ, Reverend Justin, and I at Lighthouse this past week. So maybe you don't know, I work at Lighthouse Auto 2 through the week. Praise God for Lighthouse Auto. This isn't a plug for that. All those on live stream, Lighthouse Auto. Yeah, praise God. But the one thing that we love about that, and Dan's back here, our boss, and he's like, family first, ministry first, you do whatever you want. And we've prayed, and there's been number of people that have come to the Lord through buying a vehicle and stuff like that. We don't know these people from Adam. So anyway, there was this dude that came in Wednesday, I believe it was. Was it Wednesday? I don't know. Wednesday, I think. Anyway, he came in. So he came in to trade in a vehicle, and he was having an issue with his vehicle. He was going to trade it in, and so he was just a little off. You know what I mean? Just a little off. He came in. It's like, well, sir, we can get you some numbers for a trade-in value for your vehicle, but why don't you come in the office, and might have been raining. Why don't you come in, and we'll kind of see what the value of your vehicle is, and if we can help you get into something else, so be it. So he came in. And we're talking to him and different things. And, well, how are you doing? And he's like, well, man, it's been a week. It's just been a week. And he's all like distraught. Really? Well, what's going on? He said, well, he was has some kind of, his blood pressure spiked through the roof. He had an intestinal infection. And his white blood cells shot through the roof. He was dealing with this. He said he was on 4 different medications to try to resolve these issues. And so he's like trying to figure all this out. And so Reverend Justin and I were like, bro's not here for a car. This dude needs a rescue here and knowing Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, maybe it was Wednesday that he had that dream. He was in bed and his nephew stayed at the house or whatever. So this guy, he woke up in the middle of the night and he swore that he was on fire. He's like, my body was burning. And I was so scared that I jumped up and I was screaming. He woke up screaming and yelling because his body was on fire and he could feel his body burning. So Reverend Justin and I look at each other. We're like, bro needs Jesus. The reason why he's here is because he needs Jesus. And so we're like, hey, do you believe in God? Do you believe Jesus loves you and that he's got a plan for your life? Do you believe? Well, he says, my parents live down in Florida and they've been praying, for that. And we knew immediately. We're like, bro's not here for a car. He's here because he needs Jesus. And it was one of those things where we talked to him and we prayed for him and we prayed right there in the office and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But it was like, we love you and Jesus loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son for you, that you wouldn't have to go to a place of torment where you're going to be separated, burning and punished from him. That's not his love. That's not who he is. He gave Jesus so you wouldn't have to go there, that you can accept him. I told this story last night. I remember it was a number of years ago, and Steph and I were, I think it was even before kids. We were at Quickfill, and we pulled in, and there was a guy that was standing out. So we got gas. I forget what we were doing there, but I was pulling out. I remember right where he was and right at the gas station, everything. And so I stopped. I was backing up, and I stopped. And Steph's like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, the Lord just told me to give this guy $20. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know this guy. And Stephanie, I love what she says. She goes, go ahead and do it. It's only money. I'm like, I like that. That's right. That's right. Like there's a limit to some of that. Like there's a limit to supply and provision when he gave his only son for us. So I grab the $20 and I'm going to approach this guy. And I'm like, you know how, and you all know this, you know how awkward it is to approach a stranger and, like, same thing with this dude. Like, and I told him, I'm like, bro, I'm like, I don't know you from Adam, this guy that we prayed with to get born again. I'm like, I don't know you from Adam. And I said, but I know you and love you enough to tell you about Jesus. And Reverend Justin was the same thing, and so we got opportunity to pray with him. So the Lord tells me to give $20 to this guy that I don't know. So I'm getting the $20 and I'm getting out, I'm like, what do I say? This is so weird. This is so cringe. Like, what's this guy going to think? And the Lord told me, I heard in the inner witness, the Lord says, just tell him that I love him. That's all you need to do is just tell him that God loves you. Well, thank you, because I'm tripping. Like, what do I do? Like, this is so weird. Like, hey, everybody. Like stick it in his pocket real quick. Like, it's so weird. It's just so weird. You know what I mean? So I went up and I'd be like, the Lord told me to give this to you because God loves you. And I gave it to him. That was it. I don't know what happened to this guy. But there has to be the obedience of expressing love of your Heavenly Father. Who else is going to do that? Who knows what this guy was going through? Who knows this guy hasn't eaten in 3 days and needs a meal? Who knows if he needed gas in his vehicle and he was standing there wondering what he was? I don't know. I don't know any of that. But he needed to be shown the love of God. And I know you guys all have testimonies in like manner where it's like, what do I do? Like, this is so weird to me. And it puts me out of my norm. He's worth it to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. And unless we embrace that, how are they going to know? How are they going to see? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. We need to demonstrate through the ages to come that love on the inside of us. We're going to take some time and we're going to receive an offering for such a blessing of a family, the Bunce family. And I know that many of you know them. I mean, the Bunces have been part of our congregation for a number of years and near and dear to myself, personally, just the blessing that they are. And Not too long ago, their house caught fire. It was actually a week ago, wasn't it, last Sunday, that they were actually over at the in-laws, if I'm not mistaken, and word got out that their house was on fire, kitchen fire, caught fire, torched the thing. And so what happens when something like that happens? We walk in love because we're connected to a family. They're part of the family. And so oftentimes, like, well, their house caught fire. Well, what happened? I don't know. Why did it happen? I don't know. Why did this woman with the issue of blood have an issue, an uncontrollable issue in her body? How did that happen? She didn't choose that. What are the circumstances behind it? I don't know. But you know what I do know? I know that I have a Father who knows. And I know that I have a Father that meets and supplies every single one of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I want to read that over there in Philippians chapter 4. And I like in verse 11 that Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And you know, I was texting Jordan too at the beginning of the week, and you understand what true riches are because I said, hey, bro, I'm like, you were pushed into a new season, plain and simple. He said, one of the first things he says, you know what? I woke up this morning, my family's here. I woke up this morning and my family is here with me, and that's what makes a man rich. And so Paul says, I don't speak in respect of want. I'm not speaking governed by a mishap situation that happened in my life. I'm not going to validate the credit of circumstance by the words coming out of my mouth. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn and speak the contentment that God the Father has put on the inside of me, and I'm going to sit back and watch him demonstrate his loving kindness towards me. He goes on to say in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When he gave Jesus came the full supply, and there is a supply of his riches that belongs to his family. So the focus isn't on the subtraction and the devastation of circumstance. The focus now is on my loving Heavenly Father and how he's going to manifest himself to me. Because what became trial and circumstance created an opportunity to see the loving hand of my Heavenly Father. So we have an opportunity to express the love of the Father here today. See, you think that just taking up an offering and throwing money in a bucket, you think there's something special in the movement of just throwing money in a bucket. The expression behind of saying, you know what, I'm going to give in a place of love. And when I give, I'm moving in the love nature on the inside of me, and I'm giving on behalf of the greater one. So I'm giving that life on the inside of me movement when I do this. That's why they say we're going to take up a love offering. It gives an opportunity to manifest the goodness of God and his love towards us. Certain things can happen in a devastation of a fire. I mean, there's natural things. I mean, praise God for insurance. Even though sometimes we pay a lot for insurance and those rates are going up and all that other stuff, praise God for insurance. But the natural things dissipated. You know, I mean, little Ruby, the diapers, the blankets, the bedding, the clothes, the deer mounts. Did the deer mounts get hacked? Deer mounts guy. Oh, man, I better write another. I'm kidding. We're good old hunting buddies, and Jordan's parents are here too, and I appreciate them, and they have a lot of good land and stuff for hunting, so I appreciate that. But there's natural things, toiletries, everything got torched. So it provides an opportunity to walk in the love nature of God here today. And so you've received texts, and I know that, Pastor sent out a couple texts this week concerning this offering, so I knew that you guys had been prepared. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to take up an offering for that. And as far as, you know, however you decide to give, we have a slide that we're going to pull up. We just want to try to make it easy that if there's that CAPTCHA that's up there, that's the Venmo account for that CAPTCHA. Also, if you write a check, if you want to make it out to the Bunces personally, you can do that. If you've already made checks to Family Church, we're going to make sure that everything gets to them. If you put cash in the offering, whatever's easiest for you, we just want to be an example and extend our love to them. And so that's what we're going to do here at this point. Ushers, if you'll come forward, we'll go ahead and we'll take up this offering. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. We thank you for the goodness of your great love. That, Father, it extends beyond the walls of the church, that we have opportunity to uplift a family. And, Father, we thank you through circumstance and things that can be out of our natural control. We thank you that, Father, you are faithful, that you're a God of love. And, Father, we just say in Jesus' name that the power of God is working on their behalf. We just say that, Father, you are the restorer. You're the God of restoration. That, Father, you're the God of peace and comfort. You're the God of our joy. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we can walk freely in those things. So, Father, through this season, we thank you for the outpouring of love upon them. We thank you that, Father, we are an opportunistic family to embrace and surround them at this time, to love and pour the love of God on them. That, Father, every single need is met. Because, Father, we thank you that you gave Jesus on our behalf to meet every single one of our needs. So we thank you that the provision is there. And, Father, we're going to sit back and we're going to glorify and rejoice in you and your goodness. And, Father, that which the enemy would try to steal, Father, we thank you that you turn those things around and it brings about increase. That this light momentary affliction brings about a far more exceeding weight of glory on their behalf. And so, Father, I lift up Jordan. I lift up Rachel. I lift up Michael and Dylan and Ruby. And, Father, I just say that the spirit and presence of the Lord occupies them. That, Father, they would grow leaps and bounds, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know you and know the resurrection power that's on the inside of them. That, Father, that they would see you in ways that they haven't seen you before to this point. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory for it. We're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for this family. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. Praise God. As the ushers are going by, I think back to that gentleman that got born again. And he didn't rightfully maybe know why he was there, but he knew something wasn't right in his body physically, and he knew that he needed a Savior. The Bible says that salvation is in the heart of every man, that we all know that one day we will pass from this life. Hey, I hope you live to 120 years old. I hope you live to 130 years old. But should the Lord tarry and we part from this earth naturally, we're going to spend eternity in one of a couple different places, either heaven or even hell. Hell is not made for any individual. Heaven was made from you. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of fire. It's a place of punishment, simply for the fact that God's presence is not there. Any place of lawlessness apart from God's presence is a place of torment. God loves you here today. Maybe you're here today and you're visiting. You can hear a word and stuff like this, and you said, man, I understand that you're talking about the love of God, but maybe you need to know intimately the love that the Father has for you. Why don't we go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes in an attitude of prayer, no one looking around. I don't know everybody that's here today, but I know you enough, just like that gentleman that came in, and love you enough to tell you that God loved the world so much that he gave his son to die on your behalf because there was sin present in this world when we arrived. People have said, man, if God loves us so much, why is he sending people to hell? God sends no one to hell because we were born into a nature of sin. We're already on our way to hell. He sent Jesus so you wouldn't have to go to hell. That's what that love that we were talking about does, and that's what it did. He paid the highest price through his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could be brought back into fellowship with him. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I promise you this, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna make you stand up, come down front. I'm not gonna make you stand up, say anything to anybody like that. But I wanna pray with you, just like I prayed with that man this week, so you can give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we're all gonna pray together, and you can accept Jesus right there in your seat. We'll all be praying with you. Is there anybody here that needs to make Jesus their Lord and Savior? I see that hand, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? You never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today's the day to get born again. We rejoice with you. We'll rejoice with you. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Well, we did have a hand, so I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. For that individual that raised their hand, just speak these words out of your mouth. The Lord will hear you. Just be sincere about it, and he'll come into your heart, and you will be born again. Everyone, go ahead, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be born again. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hey, before we're dismissed here, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on the Lord for a minute. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us. And we know and believe the love that you have for us. We thank you that you're going to demonstrate through us to this lost and dying world. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.
Worthy to be lifted up. Come on, why don't you shout?